Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. Gosh, it's Ben Taylor. Let's get this dadgum week kicked off with some tinfoil hat stuff.
Oh, man. Leave it to Kyle to come up with all kinds of what's going on behind the scenes. Do we know everything? Who's the magic wizard behind the curtain?
Let's do it. Let's put our tinfoil hats on for a second and let's call things what it is on the surface, and then let's figure out what the heck's going on and how Auburn has been so successful on the recruiting trail when other rivals are that are traditionally much, much more powerful on the recruiting trail aren't. So currently, I'm going by the 247 industry average. It's called their composite. That's the most, to me, that takes the ranking of all of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Auburn sits at number 8. All right.
Yep.
A hated rival, and usually at this point in time or very shortly thereafter, they're always going to be challenging for the number one spot to Georgia. Okay. Yep. Georgia's all the way down at 16 right now with 17 commits. Alabama, on the other hand, is all the way down to, I had to hit load more, sorry, 67th. They just added a few more 3 stars this past weekend. They're up to 9 total commits. There's a million trains of thought as to what's happening, okay? But the storyline is, for whatever reason, coming off of losing seasons 5 years in a row, whatever it is.
5 years in a row.
Auburn right now seems to be in a better position high school recruiting than two rivals that both – did they both make the playoffs last year?
Mm-hmm.
That made the playoffs last year. What is going on? Where do we start?
Man, there's so many ways you can start. You're talking about tenfold. Do you want to go ahead and go down that road, like the behind the scenes thing? I mean, I've told you, and you know, and I know it's easy to say, and I said it to you. You know, I think this staff is, you know, they're working hard. I think they're all working hard. I think this one's got a little extra motivation. I mean, you see, Golish load up and fly to see Tim Cook, which it baffles me that we haven't had a football coach do that in all of our years at Auburn. So, I mean, doing little things like that.
Everything changed after that visit. No idea what happened.
But. No idea what happened. No idea what check got stroked. But I'm just saying there's a lot of – but still, that's fascinating. I never put two and two – because I was like, all the coaches have met Tim Cook, but they haven't gone to see him. There's a difference. And you know, they may have visited him here. So – little things like that, and you know, Alabama, maybe they're being too selective, Kyle. I mean, they said they're only taking selective. 16. Well, they, you know, because you keep hearing out of them, you know, quality over quantity, and they're only taking 16, and who knows how much they spent to retain some of their players. I mean,
okay, let's go with that converse. Let's take that piece,
okay,
and let's roll with that, okay?
Okay,
all right, so. What percentage do you think money plays into a recruit's decision on average?
Well, when you hear the coaches talk about it, they say that's one of the first questions asked.
So do you think 80% is too high?
No, I think 80. I think I would say 80 to 85% easily.
Okay. So let's operate under that assumption. Okay. Okay. If all these kids 85%, which I think that's probably fair, 80 to 85%. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I don't think that, you know, why would you take one job over the other? What's going to weigh in the most?
And your question was, does it play into it? I think 80 to 85% is a doable number, because that doesn't necessarily make the ultimate decision for them. They may take less money to go to another school, because if they know they got an opportunity to win championships or get to the league under another coach, you know, we called it the Saban discount. I mean, you know, he had that ability to do that. And maybe Kirby has that, because Kirby puts a lot of Georgia Bulldogs in.
I'm just saying, I'm just saying I agree with your number. I think 80 to 85% is fair, but I want to make sure we don't have a negative connotation around that, because in every walk of life, if you have two jobs that are fairly equal, one of them just pays more. If it's not gonna like ruin your career, you're probably gonna 9 times out of 10 or 8.5 times out of 10 go with the one that pays more. Okay, so operating under the assumption that money is the driving factor in a lot of these recruitments, okay, how is Auburn in a better position? I mean, you would have to assume Auburn's in a better position financially for this particular high school class than their counterparts, right? Is that a stretch?
No, I would say they're in better financial. I mean, that's the – according to the Locked On Bama guy, I mean, he clearly said that they used more of their money on retaining than they did to get new players. So, you know, when people talk about them jumping from 67 in the top 20, it ain't going to happen because they ain't got the money to do it. They're going to be able to be outbid by Auburn, maybe even by Georgia, but by Missouri, of all people. So, you know, they're going to – now if they get a kid that's going to Alabama, it's not going to be a money decision, in my opinion. It's going to be, can Alabama put me in the league, and then money decision. But that still ain't going to jump them from 67 in. Now, where did that money come from Auburn?
There's the conversation.
Is, you know, you hear scuttlebutt about – I told you it was a designed accident. It's what I said. Okay. Because I think that this staff that came in accidentally fell into a design holdback on money dating back to the Hugh days. And I don't like it when people say Cohen is cheap, because Cohen, clearly there's an addition going on the stadium. There's new facilities being upgraded daily. There's talk of other new facilities coming. They're doing all these other things that they – so clearly they're not afraid to spend money. I think you just have to convince him, is it worth spending money on? And maybe he saw the writing on the wall with you. And maybe –
Let's go back in time because you're all over this, I think. Let's go back in time and walk this out. This time last year, what was the talk about recruiting? June, in particular, what was the big
– golf?
Well, golf, yeah. But June, remember, there was a time when the 2026 – was it 2026 class? Yeah, the 2026 class, there was a time for – it was a short period of time. There was a time early on where that was the number one class in the country.
Yeah.
And then June rolls around – and you start dropping commitments left and right. You start getting predictions for new commitments, and then they come on a visit, and then they go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And all of this was circled around this, like, August 1st date when offers can go in writing, and we're not going to do this, and we're not going to do that. And Auburn just got their teeth kicked in on the recruiting trail. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple, period. There's really no other way to discuss it other than that. They just got their teeth kicked in. Yeah. So the question was, why? What is happening? And it felt like, do you think this is accurate, that the consensus was we weren't playing in the same sandboxes when it comes to how we were presenting offers versus our opponents. Is that an accurate statement?
I would definitely say that was the case.
And at the time, it was like, we're stupid. What are we doing?
Well, at the time, I didn't know nor believe, and that's where Cohen started getting the reputation for not spending money.
Yes.
And you're kind of wondering – why? I mean, if you want to be successful, matter of fact, Kyle, let's call it what it was. There were people saying, this ain't Mississippi State. Like, you gotta do things differently here.
Yeah.
And maybe he's an evil genius. Maybe he kind of knew what the expectations were. And so he kept us in that separate sandbox on purpose.
Okay. I agree, But I want to know, I got a big question for you after we take a quick break, because I do believe you're right. I think he kept us out of that sandbox on purpose. I just don't know why. And I think there's two options, and I'm going to give you those, and I want to see what you think here in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Sign up today. If you're an Auburn business owner, it's less than $1 a day. You can join our business network. We got three brand new businesses coming in that we talked to this weekend. Fired up about those. Want to get this to where if you're an Auburn fan and you're about to buy something, hey, I'm going to go to buyauburn.com first to see if there's an Auburn person that does it. And it could be anything from, gosh, it could be anything from needing legal services to tax services to freaking gourmet popcorn. Like we're hopefully going to have it all before soon. So check us out. It's buyauburn.com. So, Ben, I agree with you. I think that the money piece from Cohen was on purpose, okay? I only think there's two reasons why it was on purpose, like it, motivations behind it, okay? Number one is, and you tell me if you think this is wrong, and then we'll talk about which one we think it is. Number one, we're just not going to break. We agreed. We all kind of had these gentlemen agreements. We're not going to break and violate the rules. This is what we believe it's supposed to be, and this is what we're going to do, okay? And then number two, and I think this is where the tinfoil hat comes into play, and you kind of mentioned it earlier. Is it possible, and I got another reason why I think it's possible, is it possible that number one was just a smokescreen? Because
that's exactly what I was fixing. So when you gave me those two options, I was like, it ain't one, Kyle.
Okay, number one was a smokescreen because he saw the writing on the wall with Hugh and knew that this was probably going to be the last year. And they could hold back a little bit on this recruiting class, spend in the portal, and then blow it out for the next staff that comes in, where he will actually get to pick his coach for the most part. Like he'll actually, I don't think he had a huge say in Hugh Freeze. He'll actually be able to go pick his coach, and it's like, let's just chill right now. And here's another reason, Ben. He signed Will Redman to an extension.
Yes.
In that August. Okay, so think about the logic behind this. You sign your GM to an extension after he's getting his teeth kicked in theory. All summer. Yeah. Why would you extend him if they're the ones screwing it up? Am I tracking here? No, does that make sense?
It makes total sense, because here's the deal. We don't know what all took place behind closed doors. We don't know if it's low hanging fruit to mention the golf thing, but you know, last summer where people were complaining about that, and then the recruiting started heading down, and Freeze got his Freeze Five or whatever. And so maybe Cohen was like, you've done nothing with it. And like you said, and so he was like, look, I'm going to hold on to it, because I'm just not real sure this is headed in the direction it needs to be headed. And maybe he and Will Redman sat in an office as well. And Redman said, this is what we need to be doing. And that didn't match up with what Hugh Freeze and John Cohen met in their office about. And Cohen liked Will Redman's thought process of where we're headed, hence the extension. Hence now we're seeing some of the money being spent that wasn't being spent last year. I do not have insider information, but I think the conversation had to have been had between Cohen and Redman, where it's like, get me through this next year, and I'm gonna turn you loose. I'm gonna give you the reins and turn you loose and let you use what Auburn has to offer. But right now, we're gonna let everybody know we're staying within the rules. We're not gonna exceed the $21 million. We're not gonna go whatever that number is. We're not gonna go a dime over. We're going to keep the NCAA off of us. And that was what the public was told. That is what probably Hugh Freeze was told, which Hugh's had his issues and run-ins with administrations before. So I'm sure he was kind of like, yes, sir. Okay. And meanwhile, he had a plan in the background of moving forward of what he wanted. And I'm not sitting there saying he had his eye on Golish the whole time. No, I'm just saying he knew every interview he did after Hugh was fired, every person he talked to, he probably was able to let them know, this is what we're going to have.
Yeah.
Because I held on to it. So this is what you're going to be able to play with X.
So you don't think it's tinfoil hat at all to say that what happened last summer was, you called it an accident.
A designed accident.
Okay.
I think it was Cohen's design that Golish now accidentally fell into with what was
going on.
Yeah.
So how is Auburn having success right now and others aren't? I think it's, you can point back to last summer and that recruiting class and see there wasn't a ton of money spent. And I would say this too, Cohen probably, they were taking a lot of notes on what they were seeing a lot of their counterparts doing. And they're like, okay, now we're going to play the same game. We're going to fight fire with fire. And we're going to do it with our first year new head coach and help him sort of kickstart his career.
Yes.
The more and more I think about that, I think that's probably what went down. The more I think about how this thing played out, the more I think that the whole situation and the publicity around what went down last summer was more by design than maybe most people think.
Yeah. No, I am completely buying into that camp of him holding onto the purse strings for a bigger picture goal rather than – think about this, Kyle. With the losses that Auburn had and the we're close, if he'd have released those funds last year and there would have been a huge recruiting class and then the ball bounces Auburn's way a few times, we're in the same boat this year that we were last year.
Yeah, and honestly, probably a lot of it was saved too to try to retain some of the roster, maybe try to retain some of those guys too for Golish or whoever the coach would have been in their mind whenever they were walking through this whole plan. So now I think the question now is the Alabama thing really that bad? I know that it's fun to say, ha-ha, they're 65th in recruiting or whatever it is, and it's fun to beat them head-to-head, and it's fun to watch them get shut out of the state. And we won't necessarily know, I guess, until I guess maybe this next offseason. But is it necessarily bad to be in a situation like this when – gosh, you can just flip the roster so fast and you can bring in players so fast. They would have to win this year. Like if they win this year and they're good, it's going to look like a smart decision, right? That they focused on retaining.
Yeah.
Sunk a lot of money and retain this roster. But if they don't,
that's the
wheels may fall off.
And it's not just if they, it's a combination of if they win this year, because I do think this is by design. I mean, I love to poke fun of them. I love to tongue-in-cheek talk about how Alabama's outside the top 50 and that kind of thing. I do think a lot of it is by design. However, with the way the season ended and the way the scuttlebutt from the machine and the Red Elephant Club and the sidewalk alums were mad at the end of the season and the results that they got out of Alabama, along with some of that off-the-field stuff, I mean, with – Ryan Williams having some personality issues. I mean, he's supposed to be one of their, top guys. And then DeBoer doesn't do himself any favors because he's not the fuzzy, warm and fuzzy guy that you want to put up in front of a microphone. So I think that they really need to be successful this year, and they're going to be fine. If they're successful in the fall, they'll be fine because they're still Alabama and they still will pull in people. And if they did use that money to retain and they are spending very little on high school kids, then more than likely they're kind of saving some if a little bit for next year to you know, try to make up for, you know, what they've lost this year. So, but the key thing, it's a gamble on the season, because if he starts out the season, Kyle, and I mean, he's 500 through the first, you know, eight games, which I don't think he's going to be. But if he were, if something drastic were to happen, or an injury, or his quarterback doesn't work out like he thinks it is, or, you know, the receiving core is not what everybody thinks it is over at Alabama, then, dude, he's dead man walking, because they got to look to somebody to throw under the bus. And
yeah,
then this gamble looks like the biggest dumb mistake you could possibly make. But if they go to the playoffs, they grab 10 wins, go to the playoffs, make a run in the playoffs, I think the design worked for them. I think their strategy worked, and the gamble.
It is going to be – this college game is so fascinating now. It is. On how, like, what's right? Like, who knows right now?
Well, you know how in the NBA or the NFL they tank so they can get picks.
Yeah.
Well, SEC football is kind of doing that with money. Like, let's hold on to money, see what we can get through, get us a winning season, and then use the money next year. Like bank it and do, you know, concerts and do FIFA play-in games and do, you know, games in Atlanta with Baylor, kind of bank that money, find other ways of revenue, and then use it later, like Auburn's doing with Golish, and maybe Alabama's. But they're not. The thing is, Kyle, they're not doing that extra stuff. They're not doing any of that.
Well, didn't they have a? They had a concert there, didn't they? It was I can't remember who it was, because he came out with Nick Saban. I remember that, and everybody.
Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, they did that. I think
as the walkout.
No, it is funny. You got three elements you got to pay. You either pay to retain your roster, you're paying to add in the portal, or you're paying to add in high school. You're paying at like three levels. So I think at any given year, depending on what's going to make you the most successful that particular year, those totals could change. Now, like you said, if they go easy this year on high school, you probably can expect a really, really good 2028 class, I would imagine. And it may just ebb and flow like that. And maybe the guys that hang around from 10 to 15, I mean, obviously, if you're number one every year, it you know, it is what it is. If you're Texas A&M and you can do whatever. But if you're hanging around that 10 to 15, like every single year, you probably got a pretty good balance of what's on your roster. You're managing your roster pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you got to do your job, and you got to coach well, because you just mentioned Texas A&M. Prior to NIL, Jimbo was over there raking in number one recruiting classes.
Yep, he was.
They had no W's to talk about, even though, what, they go like 4 years in a row, top three
recruiting? No, I'm with you. They had like one of the greatest classes ever assembled.
Yeah, and literally did nothing with it. And then the transfer portal came about. People started poaching those guys
because they got ransacked.
Yeah, they were five stars, and everybody was like, let's go get them. Like, clearly they're unhappy. They can't win anything at A&M, so let's go grab them. So, and I don't know how much Alabama may be holding back so they can hit the portal. They see what they need. You know, same with Georgia, because unlike Dabo, DeBoer and Kirby have proven that they don't mind going in the portal and getting somebody. So, I think that could have something to do with it. But I do think, going back to Bama, I think this is by design, but I also think what Auburn did last summer was by design. And gotcha. There's a little sneak peek behind the curtain. And that is total me guessing.
Yeah, dude, we're totally speculating.
Yeah,
but I think it's
– I'm not going to get off this recording and call Cohen and say, hey, we just said this. Is this about right? That's true? Like, I'm not doing that. But – it makes sense the way it was
handled. Yeah, dude, you have to just apply like logic,
just pure logic
to the situation. And all I know is Auburn got their brains beat in on the recruiting trail last year, and a lot of the talk was around money, and then all of a sudden Auburn is killing it in recruiting when nothing's really changed as far as, you know, money goes. Like, that's still money's still a pretty big deal. Why? That's what we're trying to figure out, is why. And yeah. I think something close to this is probably what happened. The whole summer debacle and then seeing the turnaround, it's just, was it on purpose or not? Or was it just a complete total accident?
You just never know, too. When it's run like companies are run now, I mean, the stuff that takes place behind closed doors, you just don't, you don't know. I mean, you know, and I'll say this. I mean, Cohen's a, he's a baseball guy. And that's how baseball managers and that's how baseball head coaches think. They've got a plan down the bench to bring in and swap out and do this. You know, they always talk about how baseball is a thinking man's game. Well, there you go. I mean, that's, he may be doing stuff behind the scenes that we have no idea.
There you go. Guys, we really appreciate it. Thank y'all for listening. Let us know what you think in the comments. Did that whole conversation totally confuse you, or did you, I'm talking to the people listening.
Oh, yeah.
or were you tracking? I think it's all fascinating. Guys, we're going to get out of here. Y'all have a great rest of your day. War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.